Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder of Tribal Trust Foundation, Barbara Savage.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Eric Garcia. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been looking so forward to today's show with Barbara Savage and musical guest Eric Garcia. Yeah, one of the things I love about our show is it gets me thinking. I know it gets people thinking, but it gets me thinking, too, about things that I either never thought before, and it helps me learn, and also it gets me thinking about things that of my past and my future. So my past, today I thought something I haven't thought of in a long, long, long time. When I first went to China, I remember being a tourist and being taken to a lot of different places, and I remember there were things going on that I didn't understand, and I'd end up doing things that were either funny to the locals or not so funny. And then thankfully I had wonderful friends who said, you might not want to do that in the future, or this is what that means to us or these people, depending on which part of China we were in. So I remember, for example, we'd walk into this beautiful place and I would just walk in, and then I was told that after I was already in and moving about the whole place that I should have taken my shoes off. Now, all the shoes in the front of the after I noticed, you know, in the front, it should have been a clue. But you know, there's so much newness. Sometimes we don't think, or I didn't think. So, you know, the shoe thing, or you can't talk in here, or you shouldn't say that, or whatever it is. And I actually enjoyed learning. Now, the particular religion or the particular custom wasn't my custom or religion, but I know that just like I have my beliefs, they have theirs, and I like mine respected, and they like theirs respected. So I enjoyed being able to show that I cared. It's interesting that I'm also part of a world which seems to get a kick out of showing that they don't care. There are many of us that actually go in there to different cultures or different countries and just stomp all over belief systems and cultural mores or traditions and all of that. And I believe that there's a balance, and I don't know that we have found it yet. I'm going to go on a big limb here and say we haven't found it yet. And what I love about what Barbara Savage is bringing to the conversation is helping us find this balance of what we think the world is and should be, and our culture and all of that, and what others out there are thinking and feeling, and that we might want to incorporate for the good of not just them, but of our own, saving our own selves and our planet. So I'm looking forward to this conversation and, of course, our musical guest later on, Eric Garcia, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere.
You know, I always thought it was funny that you took your shoes off to go to the movies or the supermarket, but now I get it.
I learned well.
I understand how that all
came about.
You know, I've always had a fascination. I used to volunteer when I was a kid at the rest home down the street, and would sit and talk to the elders and before their passing, and was just fascinated the stories that I would hear and the stories of stories and the stories of those stories.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, at a very early age sparked my desire to know more about our indigenous and the elders from that perspective. So I'm really thrilled to have this conversation.
Yes, and so let's have it. She is the founder of Tribal Trust Foundation. She is an author, she is a filmmaker, she's so much more, and she's here. It's Barbara Savage. Thank you so much for being here with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I feel like I know you.
I feel like I know you too, actually. I said that when you walked through the door, and you said, that is meaningful, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But this thing about, you know, walking into places where, you know, people in a culture take shoes off, and then having certain people just like purposely walk all over it. That's been like something that's been happening for centuries now.
Way too long. But there is an opportunity. I always like to focus on the positive. Mm. And what the opportunity that we have to rebalance, you were talking about balance, mm-hmm. rebalance, shift, you know, consciousness and the world, is to acknowledge these ancient indigenous cultures and particularly model our enthusiasm and you know, hopefully sincere interest in the wisdom that they have, that they're holding, because the youth are sometimes easily assimilating into a Western way of life due to cultural pressures, you know, outside. Mm. And every time the Tribal Trust shows up and we're engaging with these indigenous people, inevitably, like the Sun Medicine Man, he said, "You've rekindled the flame of our fire among our youth," because they saw that we were unlike, that's a very innocent thing that you did, and I've actually done the same thing. Mm-hmm. When I first started practicing yoga, I didn't know that I was supposed to take my shoes off, mm-hmm. so that's a normal thing. But when you're making an effort to go to these most remote areas in the world, you're just going into that environment. It feels sacred. So slow down, I can speak for myself, I slow down, I become much more observant, and I listen, as opposed to being the one, talking. And that has been in the past. Again, our MO was to go in there and want to change their culture, change their belief systems. And our whole initiative is to try to reverse that.
And when you talk about your initiative, you mean Tribal Trust Foundation.
Yes.
So how did you first become interested in or feel a calling towards indigenous people?
Well, that's why I wrote my memoir, because it's quite a long journey and I'm still on it. But basically, the bottom line is that I was in a very bad place, you know, in my personal life. It was a death of sorts. When I was getting divorced, I just felt a loss of identity, displaced, disenfranchised, and feeling like a victim. So I went on a journey, and it was actually purposeful. It was for business. And what I didn't expect was to meet an indigenous tribe. I'd only gone on Club Meds. I'd traveled to Europe. I had traveled a very protected, more traditional life when I was raising my children. And then all of a sudden I found myself single on a bus in Nepal, a harrowing trip to this jungle, remote area.
And that was business?
Yes, because I was sourcing, well, at the time I was sourcing stones from Tibet in Kathmandu. But after weeks of the pollution and running around on the back of a motorcycle, they said, "Oh, you should take this luxury trip," because it was going to be another week before the nomads from Tibet were going to get to Nepal. And this was in the 1990s. It was when it was dangerous if you were a sympathizer of the Tibetan culture cause to go there. So a monk had even said, "Barbara, you cannot go. They'll look in your eyes and know that you're a sympathizer, and you you will be at risk. So that's why I stayed in Kathmandu. But honestly, it did start to get to me. So that's why I took this luxury tourist bus, which it was a luxury tourist bus because I was the tourist that paid for everybody else to get on the bus for the next 7 hours. And I was the only tourist. And when I finally got to...
I was thinking, is she saying luxury with quotes in the air?
Yeah. Oh, no, it was harrowing. And my first near-death experience, I think, the tribal trust, fulfilling the mission. But the beauty of that whole journey was that when I got there, I ended up meeting the Turu people, the original people, indigenous people of Chitwan, Nepal. And where I was thinking, oh, woe is me, I lost all this, I lost that, he was saying to me, as I'm on the back of the elephant of his charge, he's saying, you are so lucky. You can travel. You speak English. You have an education. And I started realizing, whoa, I am lucky. But then it was supposed to be a 1-hour elephant ride turned into 4 hours because we were...
it happens all the time.
We just started having... plus, I was the only tourist, right? So it's like no one else is waiting to get on that elephant. So we end up having this cultural exchange where I learned about why this indigenous culture survived in 1955 when everybody else died of malaria. They didn't get sick because he pointed out, though, as we're on the elephant with my legs raised going through the river, he's pointing out the women of his tribe, and they were collecting snails. So the escargot eating the snail apparently has an antibody that prevents malaria.
Wow.
So I was like, wow. I know. And then he knew every bird. I mean, it went just his knowledge of his environment made me realize I had so much to learn. We all have so much to learn from these people. But then I also recognized that they really needed our help. He shared that there was a very dangerous situation going on where the native indigenous girls became low. Now the Turu were lowest of the caste of Nepal, even though they never had a caste system, of course, when they were indigenous. And the unmarried girls were sex trafficked to India.
Oh, wow.
So I definitely wanted to help empower.
Wow.
I wanted to help.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the first part of my healing was that I realized that I have a purpose in the world. Besides, I thought I had a purpose, you know, in my past life, with all the responsibilities I had.
Yeah.
But in fact, I was coming from a different perspective, and having been a philanthropist where I wrote checks before, because we had a rather high lifestyle that I thoroughly enjoyed and I loved supporting these various causes, it didn't compare to being of service and being involved with reciprocity. When you are learning and being healed, body, mind, and spirit, by the wisdom of these indigenous cultures, you want to give back. You want to help save these cultures for the benefit of all humanity. So then it just took control of my life. I mean, it's just my passion now. So I wake up every day happy. I mean, I must say I'm blessed with a happy gene, but I think it's nourished by knowing that that everybody actually could join hands with me in this mission, because we're all indigenous. We just have to remember.
Wow.
And if we all collectively got involved in trying to preserve these libraries of knowledge, ancient wisdom, libraries of knowledge, that I guarantee you, I mean, I'm the living example of what it can do for you. I mean,
yeah.
That's how I feel.
I'll have some of that. Barbara, you reminded me of when people come to visit me and I'm driving them around and there's a Hollywood sign and there's this, and you're telling me he knew about all the birds, and you know, I'm like, wait a minute, I couldn't point out a single bird,
right?
And that's our planet.
Right.
It's not a sign somebody planted on here. So,
well, now you can point out the birds on the Hollywood
sign. On the Hollywood sign.
Yeah,
so when we come back, we're going to learn about some of the wisdom. We're going to learn about some interesting girls, young girls girls that Barbara has connected with. Gosh, it feels like there's so much to learn in so little time, but let's get to it when we come back here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Hey guys, this is Michaela. So I'm here to tell you about the DNA Institute. If you haven't heard of it already, I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute treatment not only helped me lose the 30 pounds, it also rebalanced my hormones, healed my metabolic and digestive system, and made my higher functioning brain so loud it became impossible to overeat when I was full. Don't we all want that? So many of my friends and family turned to the Institute after they saw my success. All of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I found this to be so different than anything I'd ever tried before, and it was easier than anything I'd ever done. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a genuine, doctor-prescribed, custom medical treatment made just for you. It doesn't matter what your situation is or how much weight you have to lose, I believe the Institute will get you to your goal. My experience is that this is more than just a weight loss system. It's a biohack to a better way of looking, feeling, and living. When I started, I had never heard of the DNA Institute, but the fact that they've been in Beverly Hills since 1982 gave me a real peace of mind. Now that you've heard of them, click on the DNA ad at lifechangesshow.com and get your customized formula started today. Change your life like I changed mine.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Barbara Savage. You just threw me off with what you just said.
We needed a moment for that.
During the break, can I say what
Please,
you said? During
yeah.
the break, you said what? Indigenous people are referred to?
Yeah. Generally, globally, the indigenous people, particularly the hunter-gatherer traditions, they're called savages. And I really do believe that I have that name for a reason, because in fact, savage was not a bad name. When I was in Turkey and I was with the indigenous people there, it was savage, you know, and they were saying, oh, savage means this, and they have pride in the word, being called savages, but right. not when it's coming from another
derogatory
place. Yeah. Then it's very offensive.
Wow.
But generally speaking, I love my last name, and I identify with being a savage. I just think it's been misused.
Well, there it is. Well, we're changing all kinds of things, or you are actually. You've met some very interesting people, some young girls that we'll talk about. You've met some tribal leaders in a very interesting way. Like they're expecting you, or you're expecting. Can we talk about that?
Sure.
This technology thing.
Yes. Yeah, so these indigenous people that are primarily still living on their ancestral land, in particular, have a very sophisticated technology of communication. They don't have electricity, so they don't have cell phones. I've only met one group that has that anyone even had a cell phone. But what they can do is that they can connect with you in meditation. And I'll speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
They can connect with me, and when I'm meditating sometimes, and also in the dream time, I've had lucid dreams before, where, for example, this medicine man in the Turi forest, he's the Mabuti, a pygmy in the Congo. Actually, like, he looked as real as you sitting there. He showed up two nights in a row and told me where to go in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where they were, what the issue was, when I was going to be there and why it was so important that I show up. And then when I showed up, he was waiting for me on a log with, and I was even a week late because I was detained as a spy at every airport, and it was a very harrowing experience.
Wow. And he's like, "What took you so long?"
Well, but they know. No, it's so interesting. They
Oh, he knows the process.
Yeah, he knew that I was being detained. Oh, wow. Like he knew I was going to be late.
Well, what about your husband? Do you wake him up in the morning, or he wakes up and you're like, "Hey, Bob, we're going to." I don't know where.
Well,
but...
no, I always travel alone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I always travel alone for the past 20-some years.
And these are some places where people don't, it's not easy to get to, and most people don't go. And it's
mostly dangerous, which is the other reason why I don't usually travel with anybody, because I feel that I'm protected and guided by the divine. And I will assume responsibility for, you know, myself, but I really don't want that responsibility for bringing someone else along.
Wow. So it's not like you're doing tours or anything like that. This is...
Except for? We are... I knew from the shaman in central Bhutan, we were the first Westerners in 2014 to meet the original indigenous people of Bhutan, the Mompa.
The first Westerners ever?
Ever.
Wow.
Unless,
wow.
Because it's government permitted, like you have to have a government permit to even go on this land.
Well,
you couldn't even get there before. There was just a dirt road. And and there was the Bhutanese themselves really didn't have a lot of interest in going there until the Queen Mother of the Tariana Foundation, which the Tribal Trust has since aligned with, had a sincere interest in wanting to help rural peoples with health, education, and welfare. So she's the one that was very brave and journeyed in there. And, of course, the Mompas are lovely, sweet, loving people, but they were not Buddhist. They had a more of a shamanic culture. So that was, and they still do, but they are embracing more Buddhism now. But they're safe is the point. And they're in a safe place is what I'm saying. Bhutan is lovely. So ever since the Tribal Trust brings people, matter of fact, I'm bringing the group, it's already sold out, but we're bringing, I'm bringing a group of people in December to meet the Mompa again.
Oh, wow.
And again, it's for that reason that I mentioned, I want the people that travel with me to honor and respect this indigenous culture, to encourage them to preserve it while they're being assimilated to the dominant culture.
Yeah. So is this how you met the four children?
So that's when it was in 2014. I was certainly not seeking. I'd been doing this work for over 15 years. And when I arrived in the Black Forest, I couldn't help but notice this one little girl. She was 4 years old, and she was different. She separated herself from the other group to begin with. She was always making eye contact with me, which is a bit unusual, considering the fact I am, you know, white hair, white skin, and taller than a lot of, you know, these people. Like, I'm definitely looking like a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
But she was very intrigued by me, where the other children were very reserved and quiet. And I just saw, like, a spark with her. I knew she had a little bit of a different consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this other little boy who was in the second grade, and I recognized him as well. And I knew just intuitively, I can't explain it.
Mm.
I just knew intuitively that he was of very high consciousness. So I engaged him in conversation. And I...
In what language?
English, because they had a boarding school in the Black Forest. No electricity, but they had a boarding school.
Oh, wow, okay.
So they were all Bhutanese children are educated in English. They're learning English as well as their traditional language. They're basically fluent in English.
Okay.
So he could actually speak to me, which was... That was a first,
yeah,
you know, after all these years,
yeah.
You know, as opposed to the clicking language with the San Bushman. And,
because
you know.
Go to a lot of places where you can't communicate with
exactly.
With,
it has to be through
an
intuition and a translator or two translators. So here I was able to ask him. I said, "So, are you going to study really hard and graduate with?" Because the school went up to sixth grade, and mind you, they're only about 120, 130 Mompa. So it's not a big school. You know, they're just maybe 20 kids. Mm-hmm. So maybe five or six, seven in each class.
That's the whole tribal nation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Three little communities. And so I said, so you're going to study really hard, right? To because this was a big deal to be able to go to school. Mm. And it was such a gift. So everyone felt that way. He looks at me straight in the eyes like I'm his buddy. And he said, oh, no, I'm dropping out in 2 years. I'm going to join the monastery. And
wow.
A light bulb went off in my mind. I was like, oh, my God. He
knows something.
Well, first of all, he wouldn't even know the term drop out. Like, who knows? Like, where does that even come from?
Yeah.
But then to go to a monastery, I knew he was a reincarnated High Lama. I just knew it because it made sense to me about my years of meditating. What do? You try to get to a place of total peace, living in peace with yourself and with your environment. The Mompas, that's what they do.
Mm.
They live in the moment. Each year they're less and less in peace because now they're being introduced to money and a different life.
Interesting.
But I really believe that he chose to be reincarnated within the Mompa, and apparently he wasn't the first Lama to be incarnated, I understand, from the Rinpoche. Well, Rinpoche is like the Dalai Lama, right?
Oh, okay. Bhutan.
So I say to my friend who is the Rinpoche of Bhutan, of one of the biggest monasteries, is my friend's uncle. I say, you've got to tell him that this little boy is here, that he's an enlightened being.
Mm-hmm.
So when my friend, his name's Karma. Karma said, well, he did, and he said, my uncle said, well, if it is so, it will be so revealed. Well, I ended up returning to the Mompas 6 months later, and he was in the monastery.
Oh, wow. It was revealed.
It was revealed. So that confirmed to me that that little girl was, in fact, who I thought she was.
Did you go back to that person at the monastery, your uncle?
The uncle? Rinpoche?
Yeah, and did you say, FYI, it was revealed to me first.
No. This is not about ego. So I'm just facilitating.
No, but technically,
I think I'm a messenger between worlds. I have a feeling.
Technically, as a woman, you were telling me before the show how women are.
We carry the culture.
Carry the culture.
Yes.
Yeah, and the wisdom keepers.
Yes,
culture.
I'm definitely not. The wisdom keeper of my culture, I don't believe, but I am very invested in supporting the wisdom keeper of various indigenous cultures who I'm invited, to meet with. And so the Mompas were among the first. And so that little girl, now I've developed quite a relationship with her. In December will be the fourth visit. I love her. I absolutely love her. And then when I was in the Amazon with the Shipibo, I had a donor friend with me who had been taken to meet with the Mompa, and I said to her, because she even photographed the other little girl, Sonam, and I said, okay, do you see her? We were in the jungle, and there were
bunch of kids,
all these little kids, and I said, do you see her? She picked out two little girls, and one of them, of course, is that little girl. So it's not just, I don't have like this special thing going on. I'm just paying attention, and I'm seeing what the indigenous people themselves know.
Mm.
So Sonam's mother, she's like, well, of course, that's her name, is wisdom. That's what Sonam means.
Oh, wow.
And then when I was in the jungle, oh, of course, we had a dream last night and it was of a key, and you're the key that is coming here to support Haiti, this little girl. And then when I was in with the San Bushman most recently in March, same thing. It turns out my friend who's the medicine woman, it's her great granddaughter, and she acknowledged, yeah, she's it, and we just want her to study and go to school so that she can be, so she won't need me, basically. She won't need a messenger between worlds. She'll be empowered to be able to speak for herself in her own culture. So and then there's a Native American little girl at Pine Ridge Reservation who I'm also in love with. And we just, we're like soul sisters. I mean, I obviously I could be their great grandmother in some cases. But
and they feel like they know you just like you feel like you
very
know
comfortable.
Them.
Like yeah. I even say to the parents, can your little girl travel with me? Mind you, their ages are between the ages of 6 and 8, and all of them, of course. How long will she be gone? Mm. There's a trust. Wow. They know.
There's a knowing.
There's a knowing.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, when we come back, actually, speaking of knowings, we'll have a short conversation, but we want to get a couple of the messages that they're sharing, that you're understanding, that are good for our culture as well. And then we'll also share how people can contribute and be part of your organization, the Tribal Trust Foundation. It's actually tribaltrustfoundation.org. And in the next segment, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment with our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and a little later on, live music here in the studio with our musical guest, Eric Garcia, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter, at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Barbara Savage. And before we get back to this very interesting conversation about her and the messages and the Tribal Trust Foundation, I wanted to share with you quickly that over the past 10 years, you've heard us interview some fascinating guests like tonight and introducing so many great musicians like tonight. During that time, many of you have let us know how much you have appreciated what we do. And some of you have shared with us how the show has impacted your lives, hopefully, like tonight. Happily, some of you have asked how you could help support the show, and we've never asked for anything. But now we are set up to do some very exciting things, and we are ready to accept your support. For the past several months, we have been developing a new Life Changes show. We call it Life Changes Live. This new format is truly a show like you've never felt before. It's a mixed reality show. Now, mixed reality combines all of the elements of our radio show, but the new show introduces new segments and will be filmed in front of a live studio audience. One of the best parts is that the show will be shot in a 360 immersive virtual reality dome with visuals and soundscapes like you've never experienced before, and will be streamed in virtual reality all over the world. Life Changes Live will resurrect classic variety talk show formats like The Johnny Carson Show, but the technology is futuristic, and that twist will be like something that was never possible until now. We invite you to be part of something truly groundbreaking on many levels, and we are asking for your support in making Life Changes Live a reality by going to our website at lifechangesshow.com and clicking on our Patreon link and becoming a patron. Co-create this show with us, break ground with us, and be part of something new, fun, and life-changing. And as a thank you, we have created some exclusive rewards for our listeners who become our patrons. So become a patron at the Patreon link at lifechangesshow.com. And as always, thank you for changing for the better with us. And actually, that could be said about Barbara. Barbara, thank you for helping change us for the better, just in not just in what you're doing, but the way you're sharing it. there are lessons to be learned, so much, but what can you share with us that are important for us to know going forward for our survival of the species and the culture, the planet?
Well, great question. But first of all, I just have to pause for a minute because, wow, what you guys are going to do.
Yeah. And you're going to be part of that.
Well, I'm just feeling, I was visualizing if we were doing that right now, I could communicate so much more in the same amount of time.
Or you could be in one of those countries.
We could take the audience right into those
locations.
Oh, my gosh. We're doing it.
Yeah?
We're doing it.
Okay. Now I got you.
Okay.
And they're multiplying. All right. So...
Okay, so what can the listener do? Number one, just stop. Just stop. Whatever you're doing. And breathe and pause and give gratitude to, first of all, your life, having the opportunity to be here. Go out in nature and...
Take off your shoes.
Take off your shoes and connect. I definitely would appreciate if people would look into the work of the Tribal Trust Foundation. We are a volunteer organization, and we are now at a place where we're ready to grow. The consciousness of the masses are starting to click now with understanding the importance of Indigenous knowledge. For 20 years, not quite 20 years, but for a while there, people felt it was somewhat esoteric to care about Indigenous peoples that were living, you know, in remote areas of the world, that they were basically needing to assimilate. They needed to change or they needed to die out, you know, they're in the way of progress. And now we're understanding that there's more biodiversity where they are. They're the best conservationists. And beyond that, they have all this knowledge that I share in my memoir about how I've been healed, body, mind, and spirit.
Is your memoir out?
Not yet. The manuscript has just been finishing, so I'm looking for an agent. Just teasing. But
at tribaltrustfoundation.org.
No, but the other thing that we were talking about before the show was also I'm very, very respectful of my ancestors in the spirit world. And that's one thing that the Indigenous people have made me sensitive to, and now I realize I have a support system. So people need to know you're never alone. I know that's one of the diseases of modern society, is particularly among youth and even Indigenous youth, where people feel so isolated and so alone, when in fact you're not alone. I promise you that there's a lineage of ancestors in the spirit world to support you, and their ancestors walking among us like these little girls. They're not the only, you know, wisdom keepers of the future. I'm sure that people could, if they are seeking, they will find that person who can really support them in their walk in life and their fulfilling their purpose. But being the other key for me and the Tribal Trust is to be of service, and that's what we try to do. But yeah, donations are always welcome.
Yeah, if you want to be of service along with Barbara, tribaltrustfoundation.org. Donations, and also potentially they can go on a trip. Obviously, next one's sold out.
But there's another trip I'll be wanting to do next year in October to Bhutan again. And that will be a most rarefied trip because we will be visiting for the first time the Laya people who are on the most eastern part of Bhutan that was inaccessible unless you wanted to trek a whole week. Now you can take a helicopter and do a day trip. And we've been invited by them to bring, you know, travelers there to see their culture. And it's again, a very rarefied, i.e. expensive trip. But it will be, also a donor trip. So we will be supporting their culture with a significant donation for a grassroots sustainable cultural preservation project, which is what we always do.
Wow, what they always do at the tribaltrustfoundation.org. And that's where the memoir will be, too. We can learn more about that.
Well,
we'll just have to have another show. All right, Barbara, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you. You're really wonderful. And this is an awesome program. I'm very honored to be a guest.
And I'm glad we were able to make it work out. Thank you so much, because I know you've been traveling. You're traveling again. But Barbara Savage, TribalTrustFoundation.org. Thank you. And with that, our Ask Dorothy segment.
Hi, Dorothy. My name is Kathy, and I live in Houston, Texas. My lifelong friend has fallen for a scam, and I want to help her, but she can't hear me. A man approached her on Facebook and wanted to connect her with her because she is so beautiful. She responded and now believes this man is her future. A long time ago, someone contacted me in this way, and I played along just waiting for him to ask me for money. It took longer than I thought, but sure enough, he was supposedly stranded in Africa and said it was because of his passport, luggage, and all of his money was stolen. He asked me to wire him money to help him get a new passport, etc. I laughed and told him that I wasn't stupid and knew about the Nigerian scams. Why do people fall for this stuff, and how can I help my friend see the truth?
People are often so hungry for love and romance that they are willing to fall for anyone who shows any kind of interest in them. We have been taught to look for love outside of ourselves, when in truth, real romantic love will only show up when we love ourselves. This is such an important subject that I'm writing a book on it, so stay tuned. Kathy, I intuit that your friend has not had a real romantic relationship in a very long time, and that this scammer knows how to exploit vulnerable women. As for how to help her see the truth, the first step is to share your personal experience with her. You might also want to do some research and send her some websites that describe exactly what is going on in this situation. There are millions of websites showing us how to know if the person we are connecting with is a legitimate romantic connection. There are even sites that show many of the pictures that are used by the scammers. The scammers are doing this to get money, and they have ripped off millions of lonely women and men by asking for small amounts at first and then more and more and more. The more information you share with your friend, the sooner she might see the truth. At the very least, your shared information could help her question any requests for money.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Eric Garcia, here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Barbara Savage. And you just heard our musical guest describing his guitar to us as we were coming back from the break. But he is a guitarist. He's much more than that. He's a sound engineer. He's a recording artist. He's a songwriter, evidently now a songwriter, We'll find out more about that when we welcome Eric Garcia to the show. Welcome, Eric.
Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. And I have to say thank you to Armando Compeon for sharing you with us. You have quite an interesting story because the guitar you're holding, you were saying, is from 1927, but it's also an acoustic guitar. And that's interesting because had it been a little while ago, you would have been holding an electric guitar.
This is true.
And so what was the transition for you?
About 8 years ago, my mother, who was a very well-known Latin art historian named Dr. Schiffer Goldman, got Alzheimer's. And she reached a point where we couldn't communicate anymore. So I moved her close to my house, and I would go see her every day. And I would take an acoustic guitar and play her folk songs that she played for me when I was a kid. And that she could hear, and she would smile. And so I saw her every day before I made my trek to Santa Monica to work. And I'd run out of songs. So I started writing some stuff while I was there. And since I work in a recording studio, when I went back, I'd record them. And they became songs that I put out and now play with a new group that I have called the Silver Lake Trio. So out of very unfortunate circumstances of my mom getting Alzheimer's and eventually dying, came new music and new sounds and me learning about acoustic guitars.
Wow. I was very touched when I read something that you had written. So I would go and play guitar for her and kiss her on her forehead. She liked that. So I'm moved by that. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what you're going to share with us. I'm assuming from the title of this first song, the next chapter, it's related?
It is related.
Okay.
You know, and as is the second song.
Okay. Well, here is Eric Garcia performing actually a song from his CD, The Silver Lake Trio, which is not out just yet, but hopefully will be soon in the next few months. The song, The Next Chapter, live here on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. Thank you. Eric Garcia. Well, that was beautiful. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
At one moment, you leaned toward the microphone. I thought, oh, he's going to sing. I didn't know he sang. And you didn't end up singing. But the irony of it was it reminded me of something that came up in the conversation with Barbara Savage earlier that you were singing. I mean, it's just like, I felt like your message came through loud and clear. And you're singing through the guitar. Thank you.
We try.
Wow. You were doing this for your mom, and now it's evolved into something entirely different. So you were alone doing it, and now you're not alone anymore. Of course, we're never alone. The ancestors are here. Your mother is here. So, but
she's always here.
There you go. Exactly. Can we say her name?
Yeah, her name was Dr. Shifra Goldman.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah, she was one of the great. Latin art historians in the world, wrote a lot of books and exposed me to great Mexican painters and helped Chicana muralists and artists in Los Angeles and was quite a woman.
Mm.
And just exposed me to a lot of art.
So how did you go from playing as yourself and your music? I know. Yeah, we're all getting, we're all being very touched here. Thank you. To now this trio.
There was a place called Bob's Espresso Bar that was on Lancashire that was run by a wonderful man named Bob Romanos, who was in a movie called Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Mm.
And he had been, I knew him as Theater Bob, where my kid went to school at a place called the Country School on Laurel Canyon.
Mm.
And I wandered in there.
My son goes to school.
I wandered in there and looking for a place to play. Mm. And there was Bob. So it was a beautiful room with incredible acoustics. And I called a friend, Lynn Coulter, who played kitchen utensils, who's a drummer who plays with Rita Coolidge.
You mean like spoons?
Kitchen,
forks.
And a wonderful bass player named Steve Nelson. And we decided to start playing some of my songs. So we had a residency there for a year every Tuesday night. And we would play, and we had some wonderful friends come in and sit in.
Mm.
And so much of about what we were discovering was the change from perceived, expected music to trying to discover what magic might happen in the moment.
Yes.
So there was never a set list. We never knew what we were going to do.
Mm.
It really was about, can we feel what's supposed to happen? And that's been so much a part of me playing guitar and just sort of life as an artist now. Can you find the light from within? And whether you do it through your voice or you do it through your fingers, you know, whether you write or you paint, that you're looking for this place where you're not thinking. That stuff is just coming out of you. And the songs may be vehicles for it.
Mm.
But if you're connected to the art, each time it's a little different. It says a little something, and it's a lot of it's just the reflection of what's going on. So that's how the band started.
I'm so glad that things like that still happen, and may they grow through what you just shared and how special that is. So this next song is actually, you just led into it really beautifully.
And it ties to my mother, who told me, as I was growing up, you know, that you have to find the peace within you, with yourself. You know, you can't expect it from outside.
Mm.
So this is a tune that I wrote for her, specifically for her.
This is Eric Garcia performing acoustically from the Silver Lake Trio CD coming out soon. His song, Peace From Within, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. Thank you. Eric Garcia. Look for Eric Garcia on Facebook. Find him at Eric Garcia. And also go to 48 Windows to learn more about him and other things that he does. And also look for the Silver Lake Trio CD to come out, as well as if you're around town, they perform around town. Eric Garcia, what a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you with all of you.
And once again, Barbara Savage, another pleasure. I'm thinking ahead. And I look forward to another time. I put that all in there. And with that, that is our show. A big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer, Mark Legere, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.